I sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Greeno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Oh yeah, we are trucking today, baby, on Motormouth Radio. Your host, Ray Guarino, wingman, co-host, and compadre Joe D over here on
and
the base.
Basic other guy.
Taking up the bottom end for us on this fine Sunday. And you can get a hold of us if you'd like at 516-572-7440.
Yes.
Or Joe, our social media outlets.
Let's see. On, excuse me. On Instagram, it's
you went right for the hard one.
real_ motormouthradio.com. Facebook, we're on there too. And we're also at motormouthradio.com.
And Twitter.
And Twitter. And Twitter. Yes.
So check us.
Take a breath there.
Yeah, check us, follow us, like us. I think you'll like us because if you're listening, you probably already like us. Or
just don't hate us.
Or you're out in the parking lot and you want to, you know, like beat us up. I don't know. We'll take care of that.
Yeah,
too.
We have the occasional discussion there, but
it happens.
It's amazing what the cleaning crew could do.
we got a good cleanup crew for sure.
Oh heck yeah!
So we're gonna have a good show today, Joe. We do have a scheduled call in from Mr. Carl Anthony from Van Halen, as you before, but from automablog.net.
You're not gonna let me live that down,
no,
are you?
We all have our intricacies and things that we totally always screw up, and we're human. As I said to someone recently, I'm a human. What can I tell you?
I'm so screwed up on left-hand thread.
There you go. That's right. So, or you can be so screwed up, you're cross-threaded.
They're always the Automobile Blog is always a very interesting discussion. That website's loaded with some very cool stuff about all things automotive. And from what I understand, we might have something from the earlier days to talk about based on what that bill of sale that I saw, that window sticker.
Oh, right. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. That's right. You're right. We'll leave that in...
leave that in La La Land for now.
Right, because we'll let Carl talk about that. That was something cool that he came up with that is going to be great. And,
A little archaeology there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But, what do you end up doing? I didn't get to talk to you that much this week.
I know. It's been
been nuts. We've both been heading off the opposite ends of the galaxy there.
True. I was still playing. I didn't get to do too much this week in the shop because they got a new guy in who's doing detailing, and he kind of was in the middle bay where I usually work. So I deferred to him. I said, all right, he's working for the shop. Let him do his thing. I'm kind of the mop-up, clean-up side guy. So.
Yeah.
And it's okay because it was hot enough.
Utility player.
Yeah. And you know what? It was hot enough where I said, I don't mind. Just kind of hanging back. We did a couple of tow jobs, and not like on your feet though, like with the hook and the air-conditioned tow truck.
Yes. Let's hear it for air conditioning because it was nasty hot in the shop and in the CF.
Yeah,
I mean, pretty much like you had to have at least one extra shirt with you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And,
right.
The pants is a little tough, especially. But the shirts, they were just getting soaked. I mean,
you
could have just like ripped them off and handed them to the detail guy. Here, it's got detergent properties.
Exactly. So I didn't mind hanging back a little bit and not doing as much work. I did get to work on the Mustang on Friday, and then yesterday I went in and did some work on it. I'm at the point of trying to solve some lighting issues, and a lot of it's continuity and, how to pull the headlight switch and the bright switch out. Matco Man Brian.
Schming on the contacts.
Yeah. Go to Hey Matco Man Brian. You look him up, too, on Facebook and on
He's one of our crew.
Yeah.
Yes.
Down in Maryland, but he definitely helps us out a lot. And he's a Ford guy. Mm-hmm. So on the Plane and Traffic show on Thursday night, I put it out to him, Chassis John. There's another fellow in New England. What's his first name? Something Rosen. I forget. Scott Rosen, right.
Okay.
And then Vince, our good buddy Vince down in South Kakalaki down there.
Mm-hmm.
They're all Ford. They all deal with Ford. So I asked them for some help, and they had a lot of good advice. And, between Brian sent me a schematic yesterday that I now have to blow up so I could really see it. Because when you're working on it, it's not bad sitting at a desk or in a chair looking with a magnifying glass and your glasses. But when you're working on the car, you need something a little bigger. Those plastic ones are real nice. This one's already color-coded. I actually had brought out, I was working on some other diagrams earlier in the week. And my wife was sitting outside at the table out on the deck. And
right.
I came out and I sat down. I brought my iced coffee. I brought my phone. I put down this couple of schematics and my big, tall Budweiser glass filled with colored pencils.
Yes. Right? Gotta have the colored pencils.
And she says to me, "Oh, are we coloring tonight?" I'm like, "Yes, as a matter of fact, we are."
One of these days, I think we're going to have to do a video on colored pencils and wiring diagrams and where to stick the power probe.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole other story we're going to get into.
Yes, definitely. But, let's put it this way. When it comes to stuff like that, especially, wiring diagrams are a map.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Right,
and I've noticed on regular road maps, which are now replaced by GPS, how the different streets are different with different colors and different they got different circles and arrows and whatnot. You do the same thing there. Like yesterday, I was doing a power window problem on a Honda,
mm-hmm.
And I whipped out the diagram and I just stabbed a couple things with a test light, and I kind of had an idea which way I was going, and I put the diagram on the hood. And I whipped out a couple pencils, and I started making like little symbols and arrows and like notations on the side. And the guy's like, "What the hell are you doing? The car's over here. Fix the car." I'm like, I wanted to see how things worked. And basically, what I did too is it was a big help, because now I knew exactly where I was going to check. The guy, the owner of the shop was that I was dealing with. It was nice enough to like take everything out of the door panels and stuff and expose wiring and whatnot, which admittedly I think what he did was he was already like in there probing, because the thing looked like it had multiple stab wounds. I think we should have sent it to the ER. But it's like, look, this is how it goes, like this. I showed him the arrows, and I said, and the reason why I'm doing this is because next time, maybe you won't have to call me for one of these. Because I like to teach.
Yeah, but you could be cutting yourself out of the job.
Well, yes and no. You see, basically what I do is that if it's something that's pretty straight up and whatever, if I teach a guy how to do it, and what happens is that sometimes what I do is when I show up at a shop, I get a certain fee to like roll in the door.
Mm-hmm.
To roll in the door, open the toolbox, walk in and say, "Hi, how you doing? Where's my coffee?" And if I find the blown fuse in 5 minutes, that guy gets charged the same thing as if I was there. Well, I have mercy. Let's face it. That's why I'm not rich. But,
right.
There's a certain, I'm like, dude, you could have saved yourself a certain amount of money by just checking a couple things with like a friggin' test light or something if you looked at the diagram.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least do a little bit of research. It's just like, it's electrical, call Joe, which is fine. It keeps me in caffeinated coffee drinks from Starbucks and whatever. But
I do have to say, though, having an electronic background and knowing how to read a schematic, it's like a second language. It's like knowing how to say something in another way, because you're going from symbols to ideas and words. And I drew out a real simple diagram the other day for somebody, just
mm-hmm.
a little thing, just a real simple circuit, and they're like, what is this? I don't know what this means. I'm like, okay. And I understand it. Like, you don't understand. It's like if someone wrote some hieroglyphics and said, "Well, you know what that is." I'd be like, triangle, bird, arrow, fish. I don't know. You just don't understand it. So, I have learned to give some leeway where that's concerned, and I found more people, and especially even in the automotive world, it has gotten better. There are a lot more guys out there who do know basics, especially if a guy is going to be a real tech. Not just mm-hmm. a mechanic or a parts changer.
Yeah, hammer swing or whatever, yeah.
And a lot of those guys know only what they, and rightfully so, what you need to know
mm-hmm.
to get a job done. But even just the first thing I do is learn what the symbols mean. The symbol for a resistor, I was talking the other day about a potentiometer or a pot, which is a wiper. And I was showing Mike at the shop when I pulled the headlight switch out of the Mustang. I said, remember we were talking about wipers and pots? It was in some other vein, some other subject. But I said, here it is, right on the front of the headlight switch is that ceramic disc. I said, this is ceramic because it's going to get hot and they don't want it burning up.
Right.
And see, it's wire wound. And look, when I turn the headlight switch, you see the contact move over the coil. Every time it hits another piece, the resistance changes, which biases the circuit, which actually makes the dash lights either brighter or dimmer. It's just it's like a dimmer in your house on the wall.
Right, yeah. It's a rheostat. As a matter of fact, yeah, I make it point the coil into the rheostat or a dimmer, yeah.
Well, that's the mechanical version. The one like on your wall now and in the cars is electronic.
Mm-hmm.
They do that with a chip. There's a chip now that actually can dim and brighten.
Right.
And if you want Ron Francis wiring, they sell that. You could add that. A lot of guys in the street rods have them. So just like your new car, you open the door of your car and the lights come on, not bang like the dome light. They kind of come
theater
on.
Theater dimming, they call
yeah,
it. Yeah,
on. And then when you close the door, they'll dim down. So you can add that to an older car if you like, because it's just a little electronic circuit.
Yeah, and that stuff is becoming so much more available and so much more common. It's not voodoo anymore,
right.
I mean? That you need someone with... someone right. with holy water on their hip and a flask,
Right.
But I always say to people, look at the diagram first. Get the diagram. If you're doing this yourself, all right, if you're working on your own vehicle and, it's something, something you actually own, go find a manual someplace, all right? And, all Data and Mitchell and MotorLogic, I'm not sure about MotorLogic, but most of the manual companies now offer a single vehicle subscription.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is reasonable. It's like last I looked, it was like $30 a year or something like that, which gives you access to everything in their system for that car.
Right.
Now, wiring diagrams, procedures, all that kind of stuff, and it's on a computer too.
Is that downloadable?
I'm not sure.
I would imagine they'd restrict it.
Yeah, I'm sure that they have some way of keeping.
But it would be nice if you could, download that schematic and print it, so you could take it with you to. Because it's kind of hard bringing a computer with you,
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to. Well, you can print it. I mean, basically, what I do with certain things is I'll save it as a PDF or a JPEG or whatever, and just kind of keep it in the computer and then print it out. Because one thing I like about computer manuals, as opposed to paper manuals, and I've been around long enough that I've worked with a lot of books, is that you have the book on the fender, and it's like, okay, torque intake manifold bolt to thumbprint pounds.
Right.
And it's like, no!
Right.
At least the other way, you can print it out, use it once. After that, if anything needs like wiping, kind of hygienic or
you can reprint it.
Yeah, you could print it as many times as
And now with technology, like what I'm going to do is when I go back to work, I'm going to take a schematic that Brian sent me, which is a full schematic for the Mustang.
Yep.
It's an 8x10, but since I have access to it, and sometimes you do at a library or at a school, I'm going to put that in and print it out on a plotter.
Because let's face it, you got to be able to see what the heck you look what you're working on there. Yeah.
Let's see what we're working on the phones. We'll go here and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi there. This is Paul from Merrick. I called last week.
Yeah, Paul.
Hi, Paul. What's happening?
A great thank you to you guys. Leak no more, as they say.
Excellent. So you can put away the snorkel and the flippers, huh? Good.
Amazing.
Thanks, man.
I want to thank you so much.
Oh, that's really cool.
Just to recap, that was your 04 4Runner that had what you thought was a dual windshield leak.
We had two floor leakings going on.
And ended up
both of the ports on the sunroof.
Right, and it ended up being the sunroof.
The trays there, yeah.
Well, you know what, Paul, that's great, because now the most important thing is you put another piece of information in your personal toolbox for future use, which is great.
Yeah, and just so you know, that's a pretty generic thing.
Yeah. It'll be many, many, many years to come. First thing to be looking at.
Oh, heck yeah. And, it's the kind of thing where you're sitting around, like, someplace at a barbecue or something like that, and somebody starts complaining about their floorboard and say, hey, did you look at your roof drains?
Yeah.
No, I just got to get rid of the smell.
Right.
The dampness.
Well, oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's carpet cleaners and stuff, and suck it out with a wet-dry vac or whatever.
Yeah,
and
also that car bomb thingy.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you both again.
You're welcome, Paul. All right.
Thanks for the feedback. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, okay, mental block. What was that?
Car bomb is one of the...
They have another name for it now, because I think...
Let's think of that. We're going to go to a break, and then hopefully we come back. We'll be speaking with Carl Anthony from automoblog.net, and until then, let's just... let's go visit some other notable characters from the past, from the Grateful Dead.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard. Join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. The free-for-all is a free-form mix of rock and roll. If you remember, rock radio used to mix it up, but now they just play Hotel California every 18 hours. It's not a law, but they're working on it. So join me for the free-for-all every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Replays every Saturday morning, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
I hope that's not a portentous omen of what is happening. I hope there's no trouble ahead, but we will go to the phones. We'll push the button and
maybe
say,
it's a lady in red.
And we'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray and Joe, it's Carl.
Hey Carl, how you doing?
Hopefully you're not wearing red.
Yes.
Hey, man, what's going on?
No, I've got my trusty Chevy Trucks t-shirt on.
Nice. Cool. All right. What's going on over there in the world of automotive journalism, huh?
Well, I got to tell you this, guys. I'm calling in on a landline. Can you believe those things still exist?
Really?
Well,
did you climb a pole or something?
I know I have them in my house. I do, and
me
I do
too.
Like to use them. I prefer to use
me
a landline.
Too. Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of hard wiring for certain things.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Right. Yeah. So no, Joe. I'm up here on the telephone pole. I got my aluminum, got my tinfoil hat on, and so far I can hear you guys great.
Nice.
Excellent. Are you using the Alcoa or are you using the Reynolds?
Right.
Ooh, I always go for the Reynolds.
Yeah, that's my personal preference too. I like you make the little metal mohawk too. It also inspires fear and respect.
Yeah.
Joe, did I hear you right? Am I now a member of Van Halen? Is that starting now or?
Yeah, well, you gotta go talk to Eddie there and see if you can get his son to take a couple days off there, and you can be the bass player again.
Right.
You can see where
I'll call him on my landline here when I get down with you guys. But I
there's very little land based about those dudes. Yeah. No.
So what's going on, guys? Since last we talked.
We have been just keeping on. Joe and I have been working in our respective shops on all of our old and new projects. See, that's the thing. That's why we like to have you around, Carl, because I'm glad we don't have to do what you and your team does, because you guys are on the pulse of the automotive world on a daily basis, and I'm sure it's minute by minute. And
we're stuck in the past.
Yeah, with us, we get to just kind of put our heads down and work and maybe have a little enlightenment with something here and there, but we look at you as the alter ego to what we do. You're that well, Joe does a lot of high tech stuff that's current too, but that's why we like
more
to meld
less,
the two shows, because you bring a face to this that we just don't have that daily insight. So.
Well, things are always changing, and what happens is that you see the change before we see the change 3-4 years after it comes out. You get to see it like 2-3-4 years before it comes in. So you're kind of the forward scout.
Even
there.
It's a conception, just an idea, conceptual. You guys are on that stuff. So,
I mean, some of the stuff.
Well, thank you guys for the kind words, and I got to tell you that when you're setting up this picture, we're kind of looking at things as they come down the pipe, and then you guys are in the shop and fixing and doing the maintenance on it, and just kind of what's going on right now. Have you guys seen these? Well, the GMC Sierra Denali is all the big news up here in Michigan, just starting to come to dealerships. But you guys know that It's, you know, when GMC does a luxury version of a truck, then Ram's going to do one and Ford's going to do one. And, you know, you had the Platinum and now you got the Limited and then you got the Limited Platinum this. And these packages, they just get more stuff in these trucks. And sometimes when I'm looking at them and I'm writing about them, I think,
this is,
you know,
a truck?
For these technicians that are turning wrenches on these trucks, when, you know, when these trucks get out of warranty, I mean, they're going to take a lot to fix with all the stuff on them today.
Yeah, yeah. You have to be loaded for bear. You have to be up on your your training and methodology, because trucks these days are essentially, especially what most of the times that we see, like in more, I'm going to call it suburban areas, you know, as opposed to like out there, but they actually still use them as trucks. Mm-hmm. But you know, they're just big friggin' luxury cars.
Yeah. Carl, I occasionally
go to Home Depot.
I have to say, yeah, right. In a nail salon. I thought of you because my wife and I this summer took a road trip down to Tennessee, and I ended up being in a VW Atlas. And yeah. I said, wow, I'd love to hear what the guys at Ormoblog could say about this truck. What a great driving vehicle on the road.
Oh, yeah, they do. They, you know, as a rule, Volkswagens drive great.
You know, I my wife said, well, would you consider having one of these? You know, I said, no, around town, the thing is big.
No, I want to be able to talk to Joe again.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Yeah. So, right.
So just so you know, that's the influence that you have now. You know, people are thinking about, what would Carl and the guys say about something like this?
It's, yeah. I have
well, that's, no that and that's so, you know, such an honor for us to hear, and we did get an opportunity to drive an Atlas SEL. Dennis Farrell, who's our main guy, he does all of our reviews. Back in March, he drove an Atlas, and he the first thing he pointed out was cargo space, roomy interior, and then the sporting driving dynamics that really it doesn't, you know, it handles better than it looks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
276 horsepower engine. It's got an 8-speed automatic, Volkswagen's Tiptronic automatic, and he really thought the 3.6 that's in there really performed quite nicely. And he lives out in the Denver area, so whenever he does car reviews for us, he always goes up I-70 into the mountains.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just west of Denver, and it's a perfect proving ground for
right.
these cars.
So right. altitude and incline. Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
He's right. cruel. He's very cruel.
Yeah, well, that's the way to do it. I mean, you know, I was myself, I was stuck many times in these flash downpours on like I-81 and I-40. And I tell you, that truck never missed a beat. It was like goat hoofs on the road. I mean, very solid.
Right.
Very confident. Confidence inspiring. So, anyway, so that was just a thought that I wanted to share with you about that. So, you know.
No, that's awesome to hear. And you know, you guys at the beginning of the show, and then I had emailed this to you, we're talking about some automotive archaeology.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'm ready to dive into that when you guys are. But
let's go.
When I got this Buick window sticker, I was like, this is totally for the Motormouth guys.
I'll bring it, baby.
And me, I actually printed it out, and I thought I put it in my bag, but I must have left it on my table, so I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately. But
mm-hmm.
anyway, we can play along. Tell us the history behind that, Carl, because the story is worth the price of admission.
I'll give you the rundown. So a couple weeks ago, I got a chance to go back to Iowa and see my grandma, and it was her 91st birthday. She celebrated turning 91, and she's 91 going on about 40, so she's not your typical 90-year-old grandma. She still drives. She is a car lover, you know, and my brother and I were actually able to take her out for lunch and pay for it for once, because she never lets me pay for anything. But that's a side note. But she was doing some cleaning in her house and going through some old things, and she found the window sticker to her 1970 Buick Grand Sport, her two-door coupe Grand Sport.
Wow.
And she knows that I collect a lot of car stuff, you know, vintage car stuff, whether that's trim pieces or vintage advertisements, and she's like, do you want this for your car office? And of course I'm like, well yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Grandma, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, if you go through the window sticker and you look at some of the prices on here, you know, like, for example, I'm looking at a turbo hydromatic 350 transmission, $205.92. $16 got your rear speakers. The convenience group, which was a trunk light and the glove compartment light, that was $16. And here's the best part of it all. Your custom trim vinyl, so all your custom bucket seats, your rear custom seats, $150 for that on the window sticker in 1970. Yeah. Base price was $3,098. Total vehicle price with the high-performance V8 engine, special spring, I'm reading this verbatim from the sticker, high-performance V8 engine, special front springs, special front rear and stabilizer shocks, heavy-duty stabilizer bar, and then comfort flow ventilation. Total price at the end of the day, $4,549.64.
Yeah, unbelievable.
You couldn't buy bumpers for that car now for that money.
Yeah, right. Right.
I know. That it's amazing. Well, that's also a $1,970, too. So, you
and
know.
You think, yes, yeah, right, and the Buick always being, you know, the Buick Old Pontiac, Buick Olds Pontiacs always being a little more upscale in the GM line. You know, right. People, I'm sure people said, oh, my, that? No, I'll go buy a Chevelle or, you know, or something. Or,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, that's a lot of wood. Now, what the more interesting thing to me is whatever possessed your grandma to go and buy that particular car and that type of car?
So this is a good question, and she admitted to my brother and I when we were back seeing her a couple weeks ago, she had no idea what it was when she bought it. And in her words, she goes, I had no idea it was such a hot car. So the dealership that she bought it from is no longer back in Lamar's, Iowa. It was a dealership called Pews Incorporated, P-E-W-S. Well, I think what had happened was she was friends with the owners. They had it on their lot. She needed a new car. I think she liked the color. She liked the looks of it. She'd always liked Buicks. She was friends with this dealer, and that's kind of how I think it. I don't think she went in and was like, I want an awesome muscle car. Well, she has a friend to this day who is a car collector back there in Iowa, mm-hmm. And when she was a school teacher, she taught with him for many years. And when she brought this 1970 Buick Grand Sport home and she drove it to school to teach for the first day, him being a car guy and her longtime friend was like, Mary, do you realize what you have? And I don't think she says she didn't fully understood what she had until after she bought it.
Yeah, or until the first time her foot kind of slipped off the brake onto the gas a little harder and she left two nice stripes down the street.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why is it?
Well, that's
why?
What she said. She goes, you know, she doesn't like four-door cars. She has a four-door Ford Focus now, and she's like, it's a great car. It gets around. She goes, but I hate four-doors. She's like a true car. She's telling my brother and I this. 91-year-old woman, by the way. She goes, true car is two doors and rear drive.
Wow. Carl, how long did she have
like,
that car?
That
Mom's
explain.
Cool.
Yeah. How long did she have that
right.
car and drive it?
What's that?
How long was that car on the road with under her?
And where is it now?
For as long. So this is interesting. I want to say she had it. I want to say she had it close to 15 years. 15 to 17 years. Because I was a kid when she got rid of it, and I don't have a ton of memories of this car. She had it when I was little.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But I actually, the car I remember is the one she got after this, which was a Buick Skylark, which was a small four-door deal, red with red interior. And I'm talking red interior, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like an 80s car.
And then after that,
in Brooklyn,
her,
that would have plastic
much,
seat covers.
Exactly. Yep. And then her green Ford Tempo that she had after that she drove forever, and she liked that car because it was a two-door car. You
right.
know? This Buick GS, I can only place just from my early childhood, probably from the time I was five. I mean, I remember yeah. sitting in it, I remember riding in it, and it had been the victim basically of an Iowa winter, and it had rusted to the point, and then she ended up selling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and looking back, when we were down there with my brother, she's like, you know, I kind of wish I would have saved it after all these years.
Oh, yeah, self-kicking, yeah. I hear you.
The thing to do is go through those boxes of old photographs, see if you can find one of you, you know, in the car. That'd be cool.
You know, that's a good idea, and she's got a ton of those photo albums, and
yeah.
I'm sure that it's somewhere. Right. You know, but this was like, and I can remember, I've had some conversations with Marty Shore, because Marty Shore, and you guys know, he used to work with Buick in, I think it was a PR capacity, public relations capacity.
Yeah, yeah.
And he talks about the old Grand National back in the day, how, you know, the Buick Grand National, and this is a story Marty Shore told me when I interviewed him back in February for Automoblog. He said, Carl, he goes, I'll be honest with you. He said, back at that time in the mid-80s, he said, the Buick Grand National was faster than the Corvette. He said, and we caused a lot of problems over on the Buick division by having the Grand National be faster than the Corvette. He said, the Chevy guys hated us for it.
Yeah.
And well, apparently...
I'll tell you this. Next week, we're going to be doing an extended show and a live remote, and we're going to have Marty Shore with us. We're going to be interviewing him live at this car show. So, yeah, we'll pass on. We'll ask him about that story, in fact.
Yes, and he's the man. I mean, we were on the phone for probably an hour, and I couldn't, you know, talk about a guy who's lived it.
Oh yeah.
And he said, Carl, he goes, we had a bumper sticker in Buick. He said, for the Grand National, and on the back it said, we break for Corvettes. And he said, that caused the biggest ruckus in General Motors. He said, so they had to pull it, you know, but.
Yeah.
So it's a good story, man, just about Buick and just kind of being this immortal brand of muscle cars that you don't always, you know, it's like, oh, your grandpa drives a Buick. Well, back in the day, they were a force on the road.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, Carl, speaking of braking for Corvettes, we're going to ask if you'll hang on with us through our next break, and we'll come. I'm going to go a little south of the border this time. This is a good song for the end of the night, too, Joe. Take a little bit of a break. Reestablish on Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, Carl Anthony from Automoblog. Keep it where you got it. We will be back in just a couple seconds.
See, this is hi-fi,
okay?
High fidelity.
You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-fi, those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Let me tell you about this fine show we have here at the station called Motormouth Radio. It is a car show hosted by Ray Guarino and Joe D. But you know what? It's not just cars. We sometimes talk about other things, and even when they're just talking about cars, it's about the love of cars. It's about the feeling you get. You know, they open up a hood and they say, damn, I want to redo this engine. Not everyone says that. These guys do. And like I always say also, you know, you watch those cooking shows. You don't cook, you can listen to these guys not know anything about a car. So please listen to Motormouth Radio every Sunday, 12 noon, right here on WHPC. And if you don't listen, that's your fault. You'll go through the rest of the day saying, damn it, I didn't listen. I should have listened. Sort of like Motormouth Radio. You don't have to like cars to listen to them. It helps if you do, but you don't have to. Thank you. Care to smell.
All righty, Mix It Cali Blues. We are having some fun here on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D, with Carl Anthony, and we are back. Carl, where do we leave off with you?
We were talking about muscle cars,
yeah.
Old Buick muscle cars, which is a contrast because it seems like we're always talking about autonomous driving. And I got to tell you guys,
yes.
I'm enjoying the break from all that for a moment.
Me too.
Yeah,
that's one of our favorite subjects.
There's more and more, you know. Let's make the car a phone with four wheels.
Yeah,
you know, an iPhone or an Android or whatever. It's like, no, car, you should drive.
Right.
You know, as long as you could not be stupid about it, and you know, observe safety regulations and so forth. But to actually drive a car, you know what I mean, and have some fun with it, you know, especially in the proper venue, that's still like one of my favorite things to do.
Absolutely,
gotta say.
Yeah.
Even when you're driving something kind of boring, you know, like a minivan or a Cavalier.
Well, even at the shop, I've taken out the 66 Caprice with a straight six and a Power Glide. Had a ball driving that car.
Yeah.
The Buick Skylark that's down there, that's a 71. No, that's 68.
A 68.
Right,
yeah.
That's a 68.
That's right. It had the what do you call it on the...
That's a 352 barrel with an automatic, you know, it's four-door, but it's a great car. It drives like a Buick, you know? And people stop by all the time and they ask, like, hey, what is this place? What are you guys doing here? I'm like, well, you know, a lot of these are the owner's cars and all, but I said, we work on older stuff and other things. I said, and they reminisce a little, and I said, you know, the thing you should do is go back and buy the car you had in high school or... the one you had just out of high school, in college, maybe, even if it's a four-door, an off model that people, you know, kind of look down their nose at. I said, you drive that car today, it'll take you right back to that point in time, and it's going to be a good thing. So,
yeah, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
That's
and I'll tell you, you guys are not alone. Hagerty just did a survey called the Why Driving Matters Survey, and in that survey, when they looked at and they did kind of across the spectrum, there were millennials, Generation Xers, baby boomers, so a good swath of the population. But 59% said driving is a form of stress relief. 60% said it was a positive emotional experience. 70% said it's a great just time for myself to just relax. And then 85% of the respondents to this Hagerty survey said that it's an important part of American culture. And even though we have all this autonomous technology just seemingly everywhere, that most Americans say, when you look at these surveys, they say, hey, wait a minute. Okay, that's cool, but driving is just... It's a rite of passage worth preserving. And this survey goes into that, like, when you grow up and you get your driver's license and you learn how to drive for the first time with
rite
your dad.
Rite of passage.
You know, it's a whole... And I think with autonomous cars, like, there is a threat that we're going to lose that inevitably. Yes, the roads might be safer, but we're going to lose this part of the American culture, the fabric of American culture. And the more you see these surveys, the more people are worried about that.
Yeah. I tell you, Carl, I actually, being a Hagerty, I have three cars insured with them. I took that survey, and my... answers fell right in line with what you said. I also like to go out of my way to take the time to add comments when they ask for them to clarify, or maybe to give myself a chance to go a little further with an answer than was. I just like to drive the guys crazy because I know they're gonna, you know, they'll read it and then they'll think, who the hell is this guy? But yeah, I love surveys like that because it's it really solidifies what we already know and we believe we know, and hopefully it'll stay that way for a while. Do you see younger people, or what percentage of younger people do you see coming in and enjoying the hobby the way that, and the car world the way that we always have?
So that's a great question, guys, and I really think there's more than what we might initially think. There was always kind of the thought that, well, millennials and Generation Z, you know, they're not going to be interested in car ownership, and that's actually not true. They actually are very interested in car ownership. They look at the hobby a little bit differently than we do. So maybe maybe a 1970 Buick Grand Sport won't necessarily provoke an emotional reaction like it is for us. But these younger people today look at their small SUVs in the same way we look at muscle cars. If you get some of these younger families, and my work in the auto industry is always consumer facing, so I might talk to a young married couple, and they go, you know, pick whatever small SUV you want. They go, oh, we love it. You know, we love our Honda HR-V. We love our Chevy Equinox. We get all of our stuff in it. It's so fuel efficient. And so even these small SUVs, people love them. People genuinely feel an emotional connection to them, and those are younger people. So I think the hobby is still there. The passion for cars is still there. It might look different, but it's still there. I mean, people still hold an emotional connection to their vehicles.
Yeah, it's just a different set of vehicles. That's like us, you know, a lot of baby boomers grew up with muscle cars, you know, big V8, American Iron. And then after that, I remember, you know, I started seeing all these Honda Civics and whatnot, all the tuner cars. That was because mom and dad drove them around in a tuner, you know, in a stock version of a tuner car.
It also comes down to what's affordable. Like, for us, back in the day, you know, you had a muscle car, but hey, maybe you needed a driver, so you bought a Nova, but it was a six-cylinder Nova,
right?
Or a 307, because nobody wanted the 307, you know, or you bought an Impala, you know, or something like that.
Heater with a heater.
Yeah, exactly.
That's at the winter car.
You know, yep. And those cars now, of course, have elevated because you just, they don't make
you can't
anymore.
Buy, you can't buy no more SSs and you know, GTXs and stuff. Now it's exactly. Now we're going to the more day-to-day vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually right. flipping through on my, I have to read it list, but I didn't get a chance. One of the trade magazines, Counterman Magazine, you know, for parts guys, millennials do not hate driving as much as we thought. Now, I actually did not read the entire thing. That's just the headline, so I can't tell you the gist of it, but I took one look at that, and that's why I kind of tagged it as a gotta see that later type of thing. But I know a lot of there are kids, and among them my own.
I could say my older daughter and her boyfriend, through the last number of years, they've picked up and driven down to Tennessee, I think, 3 or 4 times in that Dodge Stratus that she was driving. So, you know, I mean,
I
gave it the best check over I could, and it was like, okay, I'm blessing them as they leave the driveway. And man, if they didn't love, and you know, they got to the point where the first time they stayed over, after that, they're bombing straight through on Red Bull and bubblegum. I don't know what the hell they were doing. I was like, yeah, God bless it. That's great.
Yeah, seriously.
Yep. Back when I was at the San Francisco Auto Show, which takes place in November, so this was November of last year, and it's right downtown at the Moscone Center, so right in the heart of San Francisco. And, you know, when you see your young millennial in San Francisco, you can generally assume that they're probably very tech-oriented. They work in the tech sector. They're probably they have some kind of computer profession or background. And that's the type of crowd that is either, one, working on autonomous technology or is open and is embracing it. But when you walk through the displays with them and they see the brand-new Dodge Charger 392 with a scat pack or the new Mustang 5-liter or the new Camaro ZL1, they stop. And they go, wow. And I'm like, that car doesn't drive itself. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like even these folks, even these young folks, these young millennials who we've kind of written off and said, oh, you know, they're not interested in driving. It's like I said, I mean, it's the contrary. I mean, even people who are highly tech-oriented, those modern interpretations on these classic muscle cars that GM, Ford, and Chrysler are doing, they will stop people dead in their tracks. It's something about them when they're sitting there at the auto show looking pristine.
Good, they're not dead. They got some kind of there's some kind of response.
And like we said, the truck culture, a couple of the guys, you know, the other guys, they like their
trucks, so they quote unquote new muscle cars. And that's actually old now.
Two of the guys I know that are younger, they just picked up Ram trucks on a lease for a very good price, and said, you know, can't beat this deal, and they're out there trucking it.
Yeah. Them Chryslers, they just scare you when you roll up next to them with a light. I mean,
they're big,
they got some sound to them, you know.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, most of these trucks from the factory are cranking out, you know, the high-end Ram and high-end GMC. They're cranking out over 400 horsepower.
Yeah, yeah.
No joke.
There are still amount. Like, I'll tell you, going back to my own kids, my daughter, you know her favorite car to drive out of my fleet? That freaking Camry.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
God bless that thing with 200,000 miles on it. And I go, like the Camry? I mean, I have newer cars. I have more. She goes, I could actually feel when I press the gas pedal what I'm doing.
Wow!
I feel like I'm more connected to that car than the other cars that the more modern cars that I drive. And I'm like,
good point.
That's my girl.
Yeah.
You know, and my son says the same, a similar thing too.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That is good. Yeah. So there is hope.
Yeah, you know? they're out there. We just gotta cultivate them and like, you know, make sure that they don't get stuck. Their nose is stuck on the phone or something. You know.
Right.
And I think once you get into it, I mean, you know, once you've had an opportunity to drive or be around, whether it's these classic performance cars or the modern ones, I mean, it just, cars have a way of getting in your blood. And I'm lucky
they
because
sure
I live
do.
In Detroit and I'm all around it. But they do, guys. You know as well as I do. It becomes less of a job and more of a lifestyle. You know?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, pretty much everybody, you know, especially say from, you know, the baby boomer generation, everybody drove. I mean, that was pretty much like, it's like certain bodily functions, driving was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but not everybody was ended up being car people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Some of us actually got immersed in it and, you know, there's still grease and pores.
We took it a little further.
Yeah. That's a polite way of saying it, Ray. I like that. But, and you know what? It might be the same with the younger ones too, because some of them are going to be more mechanically inclined and some of them are going to have that, they're just going to want to feel that. I remember reading someplace that driving comes from like the
the vestigial lizard portion of your brain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean it's that part of your brain that controls the machine.
I feel satisfaction. I feel sometimes like I can bleed 90 weight, and if I'm sick, it's brake fluid. So, Carl, give us a shout to listeners. Please tell them how they can find you and everything that your fine staff of people do. And then we're going to have to move on and get ourselves to our last segment. So how do people find you and on the net, and how do you like to advertise yourself?
Right. It's very easy. So we are automoblog.net is our site. Mm-hmm. Spelled AUTOMOBLOG.net. So automoblog.net is the site. We would love to interact with you on Twitter. Anything and everything from cars to coffee. We're here on Twitter at automoblog. Our Facebook is the same, automoblog. Mm-hmm. Our Instagram is the same, automoblog. So if you go to the big social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, type in automoblog in Google or automoblog.net. You will find us. We have a contact link. If you have questions or you just want to start a dialogue about cars, we'd love to hear from you.
Very cool.
And if people type in motormouthradio.com, they can find a link to automoblog.net, so they can do that as well.
We're inextricable there, you know? Yeah. So, hey, I got to say this, too. I mean, I have recommended your site to people that were thinking about buying cars. I said, you want to see what's going on out there? Take a look at your site.
Right.
Your car reviews and so forth. And they found them quite interesting, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, we owe you one for that.
No problem.
Try to be straightforward, and give the information, that we can. But we owe you guys, and we love you guys' perspective on cars. And it's always such a pleasure to be a guest, or it's always such a pleasure to be a guest on your show. So I look forward to getting the emails whenever you ask. So
we like having you.
I look forward to the next time we can do this.
You're one of the family. You're more than a guest. You're one of the family. Carl, thanks for calling, and thanks for sharing that great Buick story about your grandma's car. That was fantastic.
Hell yeah.
You bet, guys. Take care and enjoy the long weekend.
Thanks, man.
Carl.
Enjoy.
All right. So long.
Bye.
All right. That was Carl Anthony from Automoblog.
I like talking to that guy. He's good.
Absolutely. And just like we like talking to Carl, we're gonna have one more quick break. I think one more. Last night was Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So let's try this one, and we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio.
Pitchenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motor Mouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure and tune in each and every week, because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk, every single weekend. Dynamite love until the week. Temperature rising, everybody getting
high. Come the rocket struck at midnight. Place is gonna fly. Man, that Bob Weir could really sing, couldn't he? I tell you, those guys.
Yeah.
Putting me in a good mood today, Joe. I'm telling you, really getting me set up for the weekend.
Yeah, seriously. Heck. How could you get down listening to that stuff?
Exactly.
I mean, let's face it. You know?
Music. Well, I'll tell you something else. If you are a little bit down and you need a little bit of help, you need to tune in to Herbally Yours, Tuesdays at 3:30 on this fine station, hosted by the natural nurse, Ellen Kamai. This show focuses on current issues in natural health, such as natural foods, herbs, essential oils, and mind-body techniques. We have some friends who use
Don't be lighting none of that stuff, okay? Nothing like that, okay?
The herbs, right? Well, let's go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's happening, Vic? What are you up to?
Dude.
Same old, same old. Went to Dead Man's Curve yesterday. Had a pretty good time.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
The place was packed. Definitely packed.
A couple of my boys from people from the CF Garage are down there, too. Yeah. I hear it's great.
Yeah. Overflow crowd. The weather was perfect. And they're smart enough not to just play 50s. They have music that we're all, we can listen to and enjoy now, and it's not screaming.
Oh, good.
Good.
Dennis Gage was walking around as a spectator.
Oh, wow.
Nice guy.
Okay.
He was mic'd, but I didn't see a camera. I didn't see Ian filming him.
Interesting. Okay.
And the coffin car was inside. I guess it found a new home with somebody who's going to show it.
Okay.
Let's see. Butch Patrick, you had to pay to get a picture with him.
Yeah. Right, right.
Horny Mike from Counting Cars, picture in a T-shirt. No.
Wow.
Money.
Yeah,
Steve
yeah.
Schneider, we can see him walking down the street, so no.
Yeah.
And Larry Watson, a real down-to-earth guy, walked up to him, was talking to him, and said, yeah, I've met you a couple times, you know, he goes, I remember that, you know, which he's 80-somewhat, and he remembers he's still working.
Good for him, good.
Yep.
No kidding.
And T-shirt for him was reasonable, and he'd sign a poster for $10.
Very nice.
Good deal.
Not
good
bad.
Good deal.
Excellent,
yeah.
Excellent.
It, nice, nice. Not too many sleds because they were stupid and went to Lead East.
Yeah.
Right.
I heard that was a wash.
Okay.
Ooh.
But a lot of Tri-Fives, a lot of Camaros, a lot of Chevelles. Like a nice mix of all types of cars.
That's always good. And always the best paint at that show and the best car strategies, I think, the way cars are built, I think, are always showcased well at that show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time.
You get any ideas? Any ideas for your own stuff?
Yeah, buy more stuff not to work on.
There you go. Excellent.
Yes, that's
no,
the way it works.
Idea is I should start working on my stuff. That's, you know how that works.
I know.
It's very inspirational, isn't it?
Yeah, but you got to go do stuff, too. You got to go have a day off where you're not greasy all day, where you're actually, you know, you can carry food and not leave an imprint.
Exactly. A couple of my friends were going to go, but one did go with me. It's just a nice day out, a nice walk.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you're not by the shop. You're not looking at your stuff going, oh, it should be. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it does give some ideas.
Exactly.
Which was a good time, so.
Oh, very good. Excellent.
Stepping out, everything's good.
Very right? good. Good on this end, yes. We're holding our own, as always.
Yeah.
Yeah, they ain't come for us yet.
No.
Yeah. They're looking, yeah. But they ain't found us.
Yeah, right. That's why you're in the basement.
Yeah, exactly.
Because bombs blow up, right?
Got that right, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, guys. Maybe somebody else wants to call in. I'll talk to you later on. All right.
Thank you for calling, man.
Thanks a lot.
Good to hear from you. Take care.
So long. Yes, that show, Dead Man's Curve, is always a great thing. In Mahwah,
yeah,
New Jersey.
I'm due for hearing a bunch of stories from when the folks from the CF get back there.
Yeah. Now, you think those guys, did both the guys go, or just the one?
Dougie and Laura. And then, of course, the Whitestone Hot Rod Association is well represented. I saw one picture there. I saw the guys' cars, so they are out there.
Wow, those guys are, weekend after weekend, this weekend and now next weekend, the Malba show, which will be out, of course, live broadcast for us, 2 hours.
Shameless plug.
We'll be there for 2 hours from 12 to 2.
Yes.
Broadcasting live from somebody's...
Somebody's balcony on
Boulevard. Yeah,
I can't remember who that is. I mean...
I have his name. I have his name.
Okay.
Billy gave me his name.
Okay.
And, that's where they always have the specialty cars out in his driveway. The stars of the show.
Yeah, we'll be up there... making comments.
Yeah, we will. We'll be doing a lot of interviews.
Hopefully, we'll be doing phone calls from people. All kinds of stuff. I mean, it'll be unique. Let's put it this way:
it's a first for us.
Yes.
First for this show. We've never been able to do. Chris and I were always asked, "Could you do a live remote?" We didn't have the availability of the means to do it. Now that the station has changed a bit, we have new management, and our station manager has seen that we can. And as well as other shows can do that. So we're taking advantage of it.
We're going to do a buttload of shout outs,
Yes,
because I know a lot of your faces out there from Whitestone.
Like a super soaker, or a couple of water guns, or
no, you're gonna mess up people's paint like that.
Cars, I'm not hitting the people,
but then they gotta sit in the
t-shirt gun would be cool too. But we don't have that, we're not set up for that. We don't have everything,
t-shirt cannon.
We're lucky we could build one, Joe.
A little PVC pipe there,
CO2,
yeah,
we could do that.
A couple cars ain't going to get fixed this week.
That'd be the new thing. But
While I think of it, the car bomb thing, we were talking about bombs there.
Yeah.
The stuff from Starbright is actually called NOSGUARD SG Auto Eliminator. We used to call it car bomb, but I guess they've finally got the hint about that.
I guess people might say nose guard, I guess, maybe?
Yeah, nose guard, NOSGUARD, whatever. But it works really good.
Otherwise, it guards your nitrous tank.
Yeah, sitting there. Okay.
Is it blue?
Don't sniff this.
Is it blue with an AN fitting on it? I don't know. Stainless braided line?
Yeah, no, because I wanted to point that out to, yes. What's his name, with the leaky sun, yeah, with the leaky sunroofs over there.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, I used one of these in my car, and it de-stank it because my cars smell like... There's all kinds of smells in my cars after a day at the shop. You know what I mean?
I was talking to my buddy Gary, who had... Gary owned the Meineke shop in Brooklyn for many, many years. He came down to the shop yesterday to see me.
Uh-huh.
He's got an 05, I think, maybe it's an 03, Mustang convertible.
Okay.
He just had a new top put on it, but he still gets a leak behind the driver's seat. And he said he pulled... What didn't look too bad, he pulled the carpet up, and there was, like, a lot of water. So, really, the best thing to do is take the carpet up and suck the water out of it very good.
Yeah.
Let's try...
Don't drive in the rain.
Yeah, well, that too. Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, it's Billy G from the Malva Show.
Billy Melvin, what's up?
You two guys got to just calm down a little bit with everything you think you're going to be doing here next week.
Oh, yeah? Well, I don't know. Last I talked to you, you had an itinerary for us. I think we had us, you even had us like washing bottles and cleaning plates. No. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that. I got that delivery of garbage bags. Yeah, I got the hint.
No, we're all in place. In fact, I'm down here now. I'm stringing a cable for this new sponsor banner.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and I'm looking up at your perch. You got more than enough room. It's a great view. You know the deal.
So, oh, yeah.
Do we have a table, or should we look to bring one?
I have a table. Excellent. I have a table for you. Just a quick plug on what we're doing here next week. So we got Marty Shaw coming up from Florida. Everybody knows Marty from co-partner in Motion Performance and PR and Car Guy Chronicles, Car Magazine, Vet Editor, number one. We got the Co-Motion Corvette, Glenn Spielberg, coming with the car for display to accept an award. We have the Yalco 6, the Black Beast, Howard Kroplick, coming with the Vanderbilt Cup winner from 11 and 12 and ran in the Indy 513. Mm-hmm. We got the Lycoa Lane, Long Island Corvette owners, we got the whole block for them with the Corvette displays.
Oh, yes, Corvette Alley,
Yeah, Corvette Alley. The old Corvette Alley is now like Lycoa Lane.
Ah.
We're in good shape. All right?
Yes, and this, Bill, you've been doing the show for many years, and every year, I don't know how you do it, but you eclipse yourself, and
every
this year
it gets better, yeah.
You know, you got us up there doing a remote, so I don't know how you did that, but, you know, you've really pulled off a lot of rabbits out of hats this year, and it's something to be seen, and congratulations on all the work you've done, because...
Yeah, this is my 20th year involvement, 19 running the... So the event is 60 years old this year, too, so...
Jeez.
We're going fat with trophies, the Chairman's Choice, my awards. We're going 60 for 60th anniversary, but we're actually going with 80 plus the two specials, so 82 trophies.
My God.
We're already heavy pre-registered already. The weather looks great, 80 degrees, sunny.
You got that deal with upstairs. We know that.
You know who's up there? My bride. God bless her, man.
Yes.
That's it, man.
All right.
I know you're at the end of the hour, and I just wanted to touch base.
We will see you next week. We're looking forward
absolutely.
To this. Because you're making history for Motor Mouth Radio, too, Bill. So you're sharing the wealth with everybody, as you always do.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, all right, guys. Have a good enjoy the rest of the day.
All right.
Great.
Bill.
Thank you.
Talk during the week. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye,
man.
Of course, Billy Velvet from the Malibu Show and Car Guy Garage.
Yes.
The Retro Garage.
Retro
I'm
Garage,
sure.
Yeah.
I'm confused with Marty Shaw already. They're almost the same height. So, yeah, Joe, we're going to be out there next week. People can come and see us, and if you can find it, because it's a little tough sometimes.
But, just stand on the Whitestone Bridge. Look down.
Yeah.
You know, and a little bit, depending on which side, look a little bit to the right, and you'll see a bunch of guys in cars.
You could do that.
And ice cream and, you know, music.
Egg races and all sorts of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Kim will be here in the studio taking care of this end of things.
She's our Overwatch for the
So
week,
if we do take
day.
Phone calls, you'll talk to Kim first, and she'll tell you, no, you can't talk to them. Get out of here. So she'll be all right.
Yes. Got another thing coming.
That's right. If we end up doing that. So
she's our eye in the sky, eye in the something,
right.
Pie in the eye. Yeah,
right.
But we got Kim watching our back. In the meantime, we got to get out of here.
We got to go.
We got to start practicing for next week because I can't do this whole thing at the outside.
Right. So we'll catch you next week on our first live remote, Motor Mouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D. We're out. See you later.
Did you mispronounce your own name?
I did. See ya.
Bye.